Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 144 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX. Today, our guest is a very special guest on the Vex on Vex podcast. Her name is Miss Nightingale. Hello, Miss Nightingale.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. You were kind of expressing to me off microphone, you're like, I don't want to discuss the five musical artists that I had appreciated when I was 12 years old. What's your hang up with that? Like, what's your hesitation to say, I was into this music and I was into that music?
I guess because it could be a little weird.
But it should be eclectic, don't you think? Like, it should be a bit odd.
It's all over the place.
That's good, though. But, like, it's not so much what you were listening to. Like, and when you were 12, like, can you remember who your favorite artist would be?
Air Supply.
It's a fucking good band, though. Now, have you ever seen Air Supply live? All right, I have questions about it, because I don't know much about the incarnations of them. Are any of the guys original at this point?
Both the singers are. I don't know about the rest of them.
But no, the singers are the guys. Because that's hard. Like, you know when they go out with Journey, for instance?
Right.
Like, Journey, that singer guy hasn't been in the band for fucking 30 years at this point.
I've never seen him with Journey.
I didn't think you would. I was just kind of expressing that Journey's on tour every summer.
Okay.
And they have this Asian gentleman who's the vocalist. And he sounds just like the guy.
That's weird. But it's not him.
No. Because the guy's like 70. So to hit those like, is harder.
Right.
Even though Steven Tyler can boozdy-boozdy-bop. You know, he's fucked up from Aerosmith and whatnot. I love Aerosmith.
Okay.
I just love Aerosmith. People tell me how crazy Steven Tyler is, and that makes me a little sad, you know? But overall, I'm a pretty big fan of the music. What's your... Like, so do you like 80s Aerosmith? Like 70s Aerosmith? I love 70s a lot.
I couldn't tell you the difference.
Oh, they sound different. Like, Love in an Elevator?
Mm-hmm.
That's 80s, technically.
Like
maybe that. 1990, you know what I mean? But Dream On is 70s.
Really?
You didn't know that.
I don't pay attention to that.
Well, you're not into music like that. I understand that. That makes sense. But yeah, so they've been around since 73, 74.
Mm-hmm.
Long time. You want to hear a crazy, weird story about Aerosmith?
Yeah.
A girl... who was supposed to be on this podcast, who recently fucking canceled, and she's listening, so I'm a little annoyed. Her mother, was at the first Aerosmith concert, which was at a high school in like 73, and she hooked up with Steven Tyler and became his girlfriend for like 2 months.
Really?
Like, for real. And Steven Tyler's like 24, and this chick's like 15, and so she brings him home, and the dad's like, I don't like this guy, you know? Like, but he looked like a little kid in the 70s. Like, he didn't look like Steven Tyler. He looked like a little kid. And he's like, ha, I'm Steven Tyler, boozdy boozdy bop. And so I like to say, because I had a thing with that girl, that I slept with the girl whose mother slept with Steven Tyler at the first Aerosmith show.
Okay.
So it's not even that far of a degree of separation. You know, it's a little closer. But she was supposed to be on, and she just blew me off. I don't know why. We were texting. Everything was smooth. I was like, you got to come on the show. It'll be awesome. And then I called her, and she just didn't answer. And then you ever call somebody, and they say, this mailbox is full. Did you ever get that?
It's very irritating.
It's so irritating. That's Johnny Zero Land, by the way. Like, Johnny Zero has just, like, full mailbox. And then
people just delete their messages.
So I call this woman, and so I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I texted her. I'm like, so your mailbox is full. And magically, because we're supposed to record a podcast, you're not answering my text messages. Never heard from her ever again. I know. You're here. That's the point. So Air Supply is number one.
Mm-hmm.
At the tender age of 12 years old, do you remember who else you were into musically?
I don't remember. First of all, 12 years old was a long time ago.
Not really, but okay.
It feels like a long time ago.
Okay.
What year was Salt and Pepper big? Because I remember going to the dances at the church in the neighborhood.
We all did that shit.
And dancing to Push It.
That's so good. I'm going to say like 86, 87.
Okay.
In that realm. But Push It real good.
That's it.
You were discussing.
We had a whole dance to it.
You and your friends had a Push It dance? How inappropriate is the song Push It?
In a church basement.
What church was it?
Holy Name.
Holy Name. Okay. You know where St. George's is? We discussed this before too. You don't make a face.
I don't remember.
So that's where I went. And we also had the churches in the basement.
Where was that? On Allegheny?
No. We couldn't afford Allegheny. That's crazy prices.
Oh.
Venango Street. Yeah, you can't even imagine it. It's small.
Hmm.
Good times though. So you and your inappropriate little girlfriends were dancing to the push it routine for the salt and pepper.
Absolutely. And nailing it and practicing when we weren't there.
Who had a cassette tape of it?
I'm sure we all did.
I didn't own it. Did you know that a guy wrote all that music and all those fucking lyrics?
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And then they became really, really, really huge. And they started kind of writing their own stuff. And they fired him. And so Peppa is the one that married the guy from OPP. You damn what, OPP?
See, I'm not.
No, I didn't say you were.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
So she marries him in real life. Tretch is his name. They have a child, right? And before that, the whole time the group was in existence, Salt was sleeping with the producer guy that was her boyfriend who made all the records and the music. Right. And then they cut him out and they got a huge record deal without him. And then they were still like, what a man, what a man. Well, that's all them. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of fizzled. Late 90s, it was over, which was interesting. And there was a weird movie, like the Salt and Pepper movie that was on like BET or some shit. Pepper. Peppa.
I heard Pepper come out of your mouth.
I mean, coming out of your mouth. No, Salt and Pepper? No, Peppa. I said Peppa.
Okay.
Yeah, man. did you like Biggie Smalls when he was around back in the 90s?
Some.
Were you Biggie or Tupac?
Definitely not Tupac.
Not a Tupac fan? Why?
I don't know. He was way too gangster for me.
You know, the verse record he wasn't. Did you know that? Mm-mm. When he was doing Brenda's Got a Baby and stuff.
I don't even know what that is.
Wow, that's like his first hit. He was in a movie with Janet Jackson, which you don't
even...
You do?
I do.
So wait, If, remember that song? I should play it.
You should.
It's a good song. Actually, let me pause this and I will play it. We return back. Well, this is the video. Let's fast forward that. What is happening? Wait for the beat. It sounds Michael Jackson-y, actually. Long intro. I instantly regret my decision. Damn, girl. Okay. Visually, it's cool, though. You remember. And the chorus is, if I was your girl, but I'm not, so I can't. And the reason I remember this is I had this girlfriend in like 1993 to like 1996, my first serious relationship, and she had a boyfriend who was not me, and would listen to that song and be like, you know that Vex guy? And then it worked out. Good times.
So, two of my favorite songs by her.
Which are?
Nasty.
That's so good, though.
And Black.
I remember the video for Black Cat? Now, it's cheesy now.
But that was
pretty awesome. Pretty cutting edge. What are your feelings on the whole thing from 1,000 years ago with her and Justin Timberlake and her titty?
It happens.
I feel like when you go to work, it doesn't happen. I feel like it's not really a thing that it happens. And she didn't show her nipple. So I don't know what like all the hubbub was about, really. And it was like the Bush time. It was like, oh, America's going backward, you know? It was a weird week politically in this country. We're not going to cover it.
Thank you.
I'm not discussing such things. This is not a political program.
I think we're during malfunctions at work.
You're lying.
I did.
All right, explain, because I don't really believe you. I think you're embellishing.
Bend over to pick up a dead body and your seam goes in your pants. Oops.
So they don't know what you do for a living.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, you just pick up dead bodies.
Yeah, just randomly pick them up.
I feel like there aren't a lot of professions that do that. A coroner could do that. The morgue could do that. Somebody working in the services of dead bodies. What is that called? I'm not even kidding. Mortuary. What are they called? You have no idea either. Damn. People are yelling at the thing. It's this thing. It's a this thing. Stupid. I don't know what
like
it is.
Like a medical examiner?
No, I meant like the people at the funeral home.
Oh.
Mortician.
That's
the word I was thinking of. So a mortician is a thing. I went to grade school with this kid. I didn't like him. he was younger than me. His sister was in my class. I hooked up with her 20 some years later, which was weird because she was not nice to me as a child. Anyway, he grew up. He went from mortuary sciences to college and he got a degree in it. And then this guy who was kind of like my family's mortician guy, like the guy, passed away. And this kid just took over the business. Like he walked into a $1 million business. And I'm sure he had to pay off the family over time and buy them out. But this kid's like, oh, wealthy. And he's really short and fat. And he like sprays on his hair.
So my grandmother passed away.
Yes.
In 2020.
Okay.
The funeral director.
Okay.
That was handling everything was gorgeous.
What was her name?
His name was Scott.
Was he an alcoholic?
No.
Because they are.
No.
They have a thing.
He, very nice, very down to earth.
Did you have a thing with the mortuary guy? Did you try?
I thought about it.
Oh. Yeah. Was he married?
No.
There's something weird. He has a lot of money. You said he was good looking?
Mm-hmm. He was divorced.
And they always are. They always are. It's a weird gig.
Two children, I believe he had.
Do you like dating people with children?
It
doesn't matter.
No. I'm a little selfish.
Explain.
So I'm selfish but understanding.
Okay.
I would rather them not have children or have grown children.
Well, it's around our age range, grown is very possible.
Right.
Obviously it's a thing.
Little children, I know I have to be a little more patient.
Okay.
So I can't say that I've dated anybody with little kids.
I married somebody who had a little child. Like when I met him, he was 4. And then I just kind of became part of their lives for like a long time. He just turned 12.
Are you still in his life?
No, not really. I mean, it's not my fucking doing, trust me. But I still sent him presents for his birthday. His birthday just passed. And then, anyway, I kind of pushed Star Wars on him, right? And so he would play with like my 1983 toys that I had because I have issues. And so now on eBay, every once in a while, I'll just send him like an AT-AT walker, which you don't know what that is, but it's gigantic in the mail for no reason. It'll just show up at their house. So now he has like 3 AT-AT walkers. They're fucking huge. Yes?
Is that the transporter with the legs?
Yeah.
I know what that is.
You really do?
Yeah.
And the toy, which I'm going to pause it and get the toy momentarily so you can see it. Please hold, everyone. And just for those listening, she is now fondling my 1981, I believe, AT-AT walker. Might be 80. Might be 1980.
Did it make noise?
Yeah, it might still. Push the button on that handle you were playing with the head.
Oh.
It might not. The batteries could be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it lit up a little over here.
Okay. Oh, and these things
move. But the batteries are dying. Okay. It's really old.
You probably shouldn't keep batteries in there.
But it's been 40 years. I suspect it might be okay. I mean, it's fucking worked out so far. It's not even the one. So I remember, you know, when, I don't know about you, but when I became like older, my mother didn't want my toys anymore. She's like, you're a fucking teenager. And she gave them away to like poor people, which crushed me a little in my heart, if I'm honest. I hid this from her and I like put it like where the gas meter was or something, like behind a door in the basement and like locked it away.
Right.
And I kept it. So that's like, I guess 12 or 13, whenever that was, 14. High school's 14, so probably 14. And then I got into a band, which I'm still in, Starscream. Our first big, real show when I was like 19, I brought that on stage and smashed it in front of 400 people. But it went over like, because even then it was worth hundreds of dollars, right? And then I grew up and I'm like, I must reacquire this toy. And the son of a bitch, if I didn't go out and reacquire it, and here it is. And I remember spending a lot of money for it. My friend at the time, he's not friends anymore, he had opened up. Oh my God, he got into magic? Oh. Look.
Kind of weird.
And creepy.
Okay.
Truth be told, weirded me out. Mm. He was a musician before that. He's still kind of a musician, I guess.
Is he still creepy?
Oh, you want me to talk shit? I shouldn't talk shit.
Don't talk shit.
I might talk shit. I'm not going to say any names. Lean in a little bit if you can.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, he was running a shop at an indoor flea market somewhere in Jersey selling magic stuff, which was ridiculous. So I'd visit him with my girlfriend at the time. And the guy next door is like classic Star Wars toys. Like, how much for that right there? that? And he's like, I don't know, 250. I'm like, done. Went to the ATM, paid him. It came with the box, which is special. Like, I have the box. And that was a long time ago. So that was like fucking 12 years ago, 13 years ago. 13 years ago. And now I still have it. And then I got married again, because it happens all the time, turns out. And she had a little boy. And so he would play with this all the time. And then when they released the new Star Wars films, you can go on eBay, I bought him one of these. So then he had two. But now where he lives with her, he's got three of his own.
And you said he's how old now?
He just turned 12.
You don't think she's ever going to make him get rid of it, do you?
It doesn't matter. I'll go take them back. Like, I'd love an army of them. It'd be fucking... Yeah, I'm sure. That's the way it works eventually.
When my son was growing up, I'd say to him, whatever you want to get rid of, decide.
But
you want to keep it, fine.
But I'd be like, no, I want to keep it. Here's what happened. The first 4 years of my childhood were very chaotic. I was like adopted out of that situation. And my mother was normal and pragmatic and not a fuck up. So when she raised me, the one who raised me, her basement was just filled. Like, it was a finished basement. And it was just filled with, like, they spoiled me a little, which is awesome. Gobs of toys. They're like, you'll never need these. And I'm like, I don't know. And I have to this day an issue letting go of things. As you can look around. Like, but I'm not a pack rat.
No, not
that a happens.
Right.
I'm not that person, but I like my collections.
You like certain things.
And I want
them. It's not just packed away or sitting somewhere collecting dust. It's displayed nicely.
I appreciate that. This is a tip of the iceberg. Like, the four guitars here are cute. There's dozens of guitars in this house, though. So not all displayed nice. I should get them all around on every fucking wall, but that gets a little much. At least I have my room here. You know what I mean? Like, we're podcasting here. The wrestling belts are behind me, which just got out of hand. It was supposed to be one thing. So.
It's a little more.
Is it five or six? I think it's five, right? Count.
Five or six,
one. Towers.
Oh.
One, two.
It's five, right? It's supposed to be one.
Yeah.
And then if I got rid of the clock, I could but I'm not gonna. Because the clock has to be there. Like, it's my dad's clock, and I appreciate it. It used to be in the front living room for years, and that's the rear living room.
I know, but I was thinking back here.
How come?
I don't know.
Maybe on Eagle's wall over there it would fit, but I like Eagle's wall. It's a weird color of green. That's for my second marriage. I have to repaint that. I want to paint that wall the color of these walls.
You don't want to make it something different to kind of differentiate between...
Well, the wall over your left shoulder is different. And then the wall over your right shoulder is also different. No, that's behind you. So the side walls. Look.
So that wall?
And this wall here are different colors.
I never noticed that.
And then, so the green wall throws it off.
Okay.
But if I did the green wall this color, they're still all different. I'm just kind of over the green. I never liked the green per se. It was somebody else's color. And that's cool. And she lived here and it was nice. And then the crazy one, the Puerto Rican one, wanted to paint everything like fucking fluorescent orange and shit for real. And I was like, All right, I'm 6'1", right? Almost, right? And she wanted to put ceiling fans in every room. Now I live in a house with central air, right? I'm aware. But women, I like ceiling fans. And I'm like, I hear you, but I'm not 5'2". That's you. I'll get my fucking head chopped off.
I have a ceiling fan in the dining room and the bedroom.
So women like them in the bedroom.
Yeah.
But I have a chandelier in the bedroom.
And I like that a whole lot.
As do I. She hated it, actually.
Really?
Depending on who I was married to that year, some people like things, some people don't like things. It leaves nothing else at this point, as I'm approaching the 50, the 50s are coming, in a couple of years. I finally live in a building where everything I bought myself, I decorated it myself, and it does look a little bit like a 12-year-old boy has a fucking budget and he decorated the home.
But it's still cute and comfortable.
Hmm.
A lot of times when men do that, it's cold.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's actually very comfortable.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went for comfort. Like, you ever see the furniture where they're beautiful couches and, like, the buttons have, like, the shiny things inside them, but you can't sit on them? Okay, you can be fucking brutal with it, sure.
Sorry.
But you're like, ass hurt. Yeah, go ahead. We're on a podcast. Who gives a shit? You're going to pop a drink. Ooh! It like shot fizz and stuff. So what are you drinking? What's it called?
High Noon.
So it's technically vodka?
Vodka and seltzer.
And they're all different flavors, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was dating this girl last fall. And she would bring them over, like a little six-pack, and kind of get lit in my house. Yeah, see, that's weird. But that if I like the flavor of something and I was drinking, I suspect I would want all of them to be the black cherry one, for instance.
Yeah, but so this was my first time trying the watermelon.
Okay.
And that was okay. I don't know that I would buy a whole box of that flavor, but if it's in the box that I bought, I would drink it.
Aren't they all like broken up? There, you can buy one flavor. I didn't know that was an option.
I don't know. Actually, this is the first box of these I had.
So I believe, from my experience, they're all assorted.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of the cool thing, I guess.
Yeah, except if you don't like a flavor.
But you figure it's for a party, so if you don't like something, you could hand it out to somebody else.
For a party?
Well, yeah, a six-pack of vodka would probably not be for one person in one sitting. Just saying, I don't know if that's a good idea, per se.
I'm an eight-pack.
Eight-pack?
Yeah.
So it's eight drinks. It's like you went to a bar and had four doubles.
It's not that bad.
I don't know. It's not that good. I wouldn't drive my Adat Walker if you're drinking two of them. I'll tell you that.
I'm a drive it.
I'm a drive it.
I'm a drive it.
I'm a drive it. So I have Air Supply and Salt and Pepper.
Mm.
As you bang on the table, you're like, fuck this. Go ahead. I kind of adore Debbie Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Electric Youth, a pretty good record. She wrote her own songs, which a lot of people don't fucking know.
Right.
I get lost in your eyes. Remember that shit? And like, I remember being like,
I was about to sing with you, but it's really bad if I sing.
It's bad if I sing. You don't even know. So, I Get Lost in Your Eyes song. That was, oh, you're not going to know this. There's a dreadful but beautiful film called Welcome to the Dollhouse. Have you ever heard of it? It's like a female Napoleon Dynamite before there was Napoleon Dynamite.
Really?
Oh, it's fucked up. And she's like this kid.
We're going to have to watch that.
It's pretty fucked up. It's she's in middle school. Her name's Dawn Wiener. And they all call her Wiener Dog. And they I swear to God. And on her locker, they write Wiener Dog. It's gnarly. And then there's this kid. All right. This is going back. Oh, I can't think of the title. There was a movie. I'm so sorry. I'm blanking. I'm pausing. I'm going to find out what this is. Hold on.
Three.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the delay. Empire Records. You never heard Empire Records. I can tell by your face. That's like her first movie, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And remember Rex Manning Day?
Nope.
Really? So this like ridiculously good looking guy is like supposed to be a pop star. Rex Manning. Hey, Rexy, you're so sexy. And they worked at Empire Records, which was a record store. So see, my story's not going to make any sense because I'm like, remember the kid Warren from Empire Records? But you never saw Empire Records. That's like a classic. I can't think of her fucking name either. Remember Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Remember the blonde girl he's dating in Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
That's her first movie too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And in that movie, she's like the hottest thing ever. And then it got weirder and more facial surgery and weirder and thinner and more facial surgery. And now she's dead. You don't see her anywhere in movies or anything.
Yeah.
She's like fucking 50. She's like, ah, like it's over. Johnny. She was in Cinderella Man, which came out like 20 fucking years ago. I'm so old. You know what that is, do you?
It's the bathroom.
Yes. She's the wife.
Mm-hmm. That came out 20 years ago?
Yeah, about.
Stop.
Isn't that fucked up? It's fucked up, right? Like, hurts you in your chest?
Because
mm-hmm. I remember having cable at my house 20 years ago, and, like, HBO was running commercials. This Cinderella Man movie's so good, you can't believe it, you gotta go see it. And then 5 months later, it's on HBO, and I'm like, hello. It's a pretty good movie. But the real story of that is, so, that guy did win the championship, and then, like, the first time he defended it, he got knocked the fuck out. But here's what he did. The Brown Bomber, Joe Louis, was an up-and-coming amazing athlete at the time. And he's like, well, I'm not going to fight Joe Louis because I'm going to lose. They're like, all right, champ, here's what we're going to do. You get 50% of Joe's purses for his entire career if you let him get a fucking title shot. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So he gets knocked the fuck out, fair and square, and then for the next 10 years took 50% of Joe's money in perpetuity.
And didn't have to do anything.
No. But no, it fucked Joe because Joe didn't know that happened. He had no idea. So when Joe Louis retires, the IRS, he owed like hundreds of thousands of dollars, which in the 30s, 40s, 50s is a lot of fucking money. It was like the 50s. It's a sad story. So when he did finally pass away, Joe, he was like greeting people at a casino in a wheelchair with a cowboy hat. Hi, I'm Joe Louis. Welcome to the Sands. How you doing? Fucking sad.
I met a Phillies player in Vegas. The gambler.
Pete Rose. You met Pete Rose.
Yeah.
What was that like?
He's such a nice guy.
Well, he's trying to have sex with you, I guess.
No, well. I don't think so.
I think it's a possibility. You don't think so?
I don't know.
I think it's a possibility.
He loved the fact that we were from Philly.
Well, it's weird because he was the Reds after Philly. Mm-hmm. And did he? I'm not a baseball guy. I'm a football guy. I think a huge record in his career was set while he was a Philly.
Okay.
Like, if it was the most base hits or like most, I know, I think it's the most hits ever as like for a, to get on base. I think he's the guy. I think. Don't yell at the thing, guys listening to the show. I don't fucking know. Go ahead.
But very personable. I knew who he was as soon.
Because he's famous.
A mall at Caesars.
Of course he was, because he's barred from baseball for the rest of his life. So he's a casino. You know why he's barred?
For betting against his own team?
You know what's fucked up? That's what people think. That's not what happened. No? You're not allowed to bet on baseball if you play professional baseball. That's the wrinkle. So he didn't bet. He bet on his team, actually. Like, for real. He's like, we're going to win this fucking game. I'm putting money on it. Which, though, it should be a little immoral.
Right.
It shouldn't be illegal, and it is. So he's barred for life from the Hall of Fame. And they're just never letting him in. And he's getting pretty old. He's like 70s.
They were trying to...
All the time. Okay. All the time they try. Because he is the greatest. Charlie Hustle, he's the guy. Did he have his bangs?
They were kind of winged, I think. If I remember correctly.
Was it grayish, or did he still have like the brown fucking giant?
It actually looked like a bad dye job. But...
Yeah. That's about Pete Rose. Yeah. Just imagine his pubes look just like his forehead. Like, just imagine that. Because that man's never shaved ever, I can guarantee it. Like, I look at certain people on the street at their age, I'm like, that guy's never shaved his balls ever. Like, his balls look like his chin right now. Like,
why
a big...
does that go through your head?
How does it not go through everyone's head? Like, genitalia is like, I don't know. Like, I can look at an old woman and I'm like, she's never once shaved anything below her belly button ever. And it's like, that's upsetting. Like, you know, the smell is probably unpleasant.
Do you think that there is something wrong with you for thinking like that?
There's something wrong with everyone who doesn't think like that. There's a podcast that I listen to, which is pretty fucked up. And they'll show like footage or like a photograph from like 1910. And the first thing he says, everybody in that photograph is dead. That's the first thing he says every time. And I'm like, well, that's funny. And he's like, can you imagine the smell? No one shaved and no one showered. And they're all wearing 3-layer suits and shit and walking around the street. Like, they didn't shower like once a week. He's like, could you imagine the fucking smell? And deodorant didn't exist.
Right.
Could you imagine if they pinpoint all the cancer that everybody's getting is from fucking deodorant? I would totally take it. Oh, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to smell bad. I'll take it.
Right.
I'll check out a 50 with cancer.
Yeah, they have like body deodorant too.
What is it? What do you mean? Like Axe body spray?
No.
I'm asking.
No.
No.
I don't know how. I guess it's Lume, Lume.
Okay.
And you can put it everywhere. Like.
Your balls?
Yes.
Well, there's a sensitivity to genitalia that normally you can't put things like aerosol there.
Exactly. But for women, we can put it like under our boobs.
Is that a thing?
Oh, well, yeah, because. Gets a little human under there sometimes.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, especially when you're wearing certain pieces of equipment.
You know what I knew I was getting fat, for instance? I was driving in a car about 10 or 12 years ago, and it was the summer, and so the winter had gone by, and now it's the summer. My clothes didn't feel any different, and I got out, and my left breast area had rested on my stomach, and I got up, and I was sweating, and I was like, this has never happened in my entire life. I have a tit. Like, when did I get it? So I had to find a gym pretty quickly, you know, and change everything. So I understand the pain, but I was like a man. I was like, oh, it was so disgusting. I was like, I have to change everything right now. Stop eating tasty cakes. And I love tasty cakes. Not as much as me.
Pizza.
Pizza. Well, I know where you live. We're not going to disclose this. What's your favorite local pizza for where you're located?
Well, if I say.
Well, no, but. No, but. Tacanelli's is really a big deal.
And Tacanelli's is nice sometimes.
I don't like Tacanelli's.
It's okay.
I think it's overrated. I think it's okay. But
you're right, it is overrated.
I like going downtown to. What's the one on South Street? I can't believe I don't know the fucking name. I go there all the time.
The Big Giant Pies.
Yeah. Well, it's not really. It's by
Lorenzo's.
Lorenzo's is like God.
No, I like Franco's.
Where's Franco's? In Fishtown. Interesting. Is there access to a Santucci's in the Fishtown area? I like Santucci's pizza. But I asked you a question.
I don't know.
Why don't you like Santucci's?
The sauce is not supposed to be on top of the cheese.
All right, I hear you. But that doesn't, just because you say it doesn't mean it's like
it
a thing.
Taste right. It doesn't. And Franco's has these mozzarella sticks that are like this thick. And they're so yummy.
Now, you know it's a podcast, so when you say this thick, no one knows what you're doing. Plus, you never do that to a guy, because that's just weird. So a big diameter is what you're trying to say?
Yes.
My experience sometimes is when the diameter is big for the mozzarella stick, they don't cook them all the way through sometimes.
They are. Every single time. They're good, no matter what.
I enjoy dining on mozzarella sticks. I do. I don't seek it out, because I know it's probably really bad cholesterol-wise. And my neighbor, we call him Lee Majors, the $6 billion man. That's what we refer to him as. He, every time we go to lunch, at least we used to, not anymore, he's not doing this, he takes me to places where they do like square mozzarella.
There's a bar in Fishtown, an Irish bar called Murph's.
Do you mean Northern Liberties?
No. I don't. They have the best Italian food in this little Irish bar.
And what's it called? Irish bar, Italian food. Did he marry somebody weird?
I don't know how this came about. The cook is from Italy, and they have fried mozzarella. Amazing.
You have such a Philadelphia accent when you speak. It's amazing.
Do you like it?
No. Reminds me of my childhood. I remember being a little kid, and I would watch the newscasters, and I'm like, oh, here's why. My father, who raised me, was from Illinois. So I would spend several months of like every summer in Illinois with his family, and he would go with us and stuff. My mom would never go. She hated them, it turns out. I found that out years later. So me and my dad would just go to Illinois for fucking 2 months, which was cool, because when you're a little kid, you should see different places and experience different townships and different children. Well, they had like not a southern accent, but it was definitely a midwestern accent, and I'm Philadelphia, right? So I'm like, water.
Did they make fun of you?
Nobody makes fun of me. I'm in a band. No, I'm just kidding. No, they didn't. But I think because I spent a significant part of my childhood in different sections, that I would listen to the newscasters anywhere I went. And I was like, that's how you articulate. That's how you speak.
I have a problem with that.
Explain.
Obviously, I have a problem articulating.
No, I don't think so. You just sound like where you're from.
I don't think before I speak.
But that's not an articulation thing.
But then words.
Do you get in trouble for inappropriate sentences occasionally, like at work or something?
Or by you?
Okay. My second wife, we break up. She leaves. She buys another house. She leaves. She goes buys her own house, which is awesome, right? At the closing, because I know this woman, she's like, it's the realtor. It's the fucking person, the title person. It's the other realtor, and it's her. And she signs the paper, and she looks up. She's like, so where's the sex offender registry? Ha ha ha. And they just look at her like mortified. And she's like, oh, it didn't land, huh? Okay, bye-bye. Backs out like psh, finger guns. Like she could always like really think of funny shit to say, and just it doesn't land. Because, you know, she was a pretty girl with big boobies, like saying, where's the sex offender list? Boozy. But it didn't go over well. It just didn't land. And she spit it right the fuck out, like at her closing. Like, who does that, man? You're like, I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little inappropriate.
Do you get in trouble with your employment?
I probably should have been numerous times, but no.
Interesting.
I work with all men. That might be where it comes from.
I don't. No. Well.
We had a conversation about cabbage today.
Okay.
And I said, I went to a Polish restaurant yesterday.
Okay.
I had galumpki.
Ew.
So good.
Yeah, I grew up in Port Richmond. Great. And I'm Lithuanian. Fuck all that food.
Oh.
Galumpkis can suck my dick.
They were good.
They're shit. What's the other one? Wait, hold on. I was going to say blinis, but blinis are actually okay. You know what a blini is? The potato pancake.
Mm-hmm. I had them.
Pierogies? Fuck pierogies.
Oh, I love pierogies.
Pierogi. Listen, lady, I'm from there. And I'm fucking telling you, I'm over pierogies.
I had it in my mouth yesterday. It's a pierogi.
I'm fucking over it. I'm so, like, if I never have any of that garbage again, I've. Then they.
Can I get back to the cabbage thing?
Well, I hate the cabbage, but go ahead.
So, a coworker of mine is Polish, and I said, how do you make the cabbage so pliable to make them? I know you have to, like, blanch them, but they still fall apart. The trick is you have to freeze them.
It makes sense.
I didn't know that because it breaks down the chemical structure of the cabbage or whatever and makes them pliable.
It's pre-freezing, though, before yes. you do anything.
Yes.
So then, and then you boil after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I said very loudly in a room full of men, oh, do you put the whole head in? And he looked
at me. Actually, it's a fine question, to be completely honest. And he said,
no, just the tip.
No, but I would be like, no, I know, it's funny. What's the answer? Because I'd really want to know the fucking answer of how to treat the food.
Okay. So you can either put the whole head in, or you can break the leaves off and put them, like, on a cookie sheet.
Would you prefer the breaking of the leaves or putting the entire thing in the way it is? I'm serious, too. I'm not being, like, inappropriate.
I would probably break the leaves off first.
I like the idea of putting everything in, though, and then doing it later, because you could let it thaw and then break it up.
But if you separate them, then you can blanch them in the water one at a time, and it defrosts them and makes them pliable.
That's pretty good. In the water. Yes, not water. It's not W-O-O-D-E-R. My dear friend, we call her Firepans. Oh, that chick cannot speak of the English. And she's like, I'm from Philadelphia. You're the one that fucking talks wrong. That's you, by the way. That's what you sound like.
Well, then I guess me and Firepans are going to get along just fine.
She's pretty awesome, actually. Okay. Whatever she drinks. She was here learning how to drive today. No bullshit. She got done work.
Did you say she was here learning how to drive?
Yeah, I had to take her out. So, you said there's two Cadillacs.
I'm gonna teach her how to drive.
You down?
Yeah.
For real?
Hell yeah.
She's in Frankfurt. She's not far from you. So, listen. Those two Cadillacs outside, right? The new one's mine. I'm giving her the old one.
That's nice of you.
All she has to do is get her fucking license. But she's fire pants and she's out of her fucking mind. So we're having like a thing. She also has decided today that she wants a fucking vanity plate.
Of course.
I'll show you off camera what we're doing today, but go ahead.
So I won't do a vanity plate because I don't want anybody.
And you know, yeah, I know.
Recognize my vehicle.
And then I'm pretty vanity plated up. My work truck has one. My Cadillac has one. I'm going to have one for my Corvette. You know what I was going to say? Corvex. And then after all this happened, a former employee who's a heroin addict gets really high and calls my phone and threatens to come smash all my windows all the time. Now, the last time he actually did this is in like March, and we're already in, today's July 1st, by the way, as we're recording this.
And he still hasn't done it?
Oh, no. And that was the last time. He's been saying this shit for like years. I worked on his mother's roof like 3 years ago. And when I work on a roof, it gets a 12-month warranty. Well, it's leaking because it's been 3 years. And he's like, I want the money back. And no, here's the fucked up part. He's a junkie. He doesn't work for me anymore, but he worked for me back then. So when she paid me, I gave him half the money for helping me because he did help me.
Right.
And now he wants the other half.
Yeah, okay.
And this is the exact thing he says to me. I'm like, oh, you know, if there's a problem, have your mother call me. I'll pay her right now. And he's like, she don't want to talk to you. She just wants her money back. She's disgusted. And I'm like, okay. He's like, if you come to my house and hand me the money, I will turn around and hand it right to her.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, am I seven? I'm seven. Like, oh, okay, I will give you the money. Goober, doober, doober. And then half of me is like, I should just pay him and maybe he'll OD. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to pay him. But, you know, I'm kind of curious. Is he going to smash everything? I don't know. And then, of course, my car says, hi, I'm Vex.
Exactly.
But it's okay. We're going to wait it out. We're going to see what happens. I guarantee he's not listening to the Vex on Vex podcast. He's not like, oh, he's talking about me. He's a fucking junkie, man. Like, he's bad. Like, his teeth are rotting out of his head. I'm surprised he survived the pandemic. I really thought by now he'd have just overdosed and died because fentanyl's everywhere. I'm like, he'll be dead. Nope, lives right through it. Junkies don't fucking die ever.
They get mad when you bring them back.
Mad? What? Wait, what? So if they Narcan somebody and the motherfucker comes back,
they're pissed.
No, they're not.
Their bones are high.
But they were die.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Insane.
I have a friend. He works for the rescue, Philadelphia Rescue.
He would know.
So I'm going to tell, like, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell this fucking story. I work on everybody's roof. So if you are in my life and your dad's roof breaks, I'm the guy that they call, right? So they had a leak in the middle of the winter. I went over. I didn't even charge them because it was a little tiny hole. And I fixed it. I was like, listen, I fixed it. I'm not charging you. But in the spring, you got to do this, this, and this. You need maintenance or this would have never fucking happened. And he's like, okay, cool. So now months go by. I kind of forgot about it because he's my friend's dad. He calls me. He's like, hey, man, I'm ready. Come on, you know, come to the service. He's like, my son will meet you there. I'll give you a check. I'm like, awesome, because I love his son. He doesn't live there, but the dad was at work, and the rescue squad guys, they have a bendable schedule. You know how it is. So he, I go there, and he's like, hey, man. And my whole crew's done, right? There's fucking four of us. No, three of us. And he's like, do you guys hear about that accident, K&A? And on my case, like, we were there. Do you want to see photos? And I'm like, I kind of want to see photos there. I'm not going to lie. It was, and he didn't blink. The things he showed us were very dark. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm spinning off. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
We recorded a podcast last night. And when I did it, I went Facebook Live with my guest. And we were just talking. Moments before the guest came to record, Lee fucking Major, $6 billion man, sent me a video in a text. And he's like, listen, this guy shot himself in the head with a shotgun on Facebook Live. Watch at your own discretion. Which he actually didn't write. He just wrote, he sent it.
Right.
So she's like, not here, right? And I'm like, I want to see it. So I start watching the video. And he's just talking shit. His phone's ringing. He's on Facebook Live. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill myself. Y'all don't give a fuck. And this is weird. And I said this on the last podcast, too. This is two in a row.
Can you see this video one more time?
I don't know if you want to be honest with you. It's, of course, I'll send it to you, but it's, anyway, so I watch, he's talking and I'm setting up microphones, right? He's just talking and I'm like, all right, I got like 5 minutes. That person's going to be here. And I start to fast forward it. He's on there. His mom's trying to call him on the phone because she sees the Facebook Live and he's like, oh, you care now, mom? You give a shit now? Right? And he's just like youngish with a giant weird red beard. He has red pubes probably. You know, I feel bad for him. That's a thing. Hey, that's his life. It's not mine. So
maybe.
But the beard was gnarly, which gives me the impression he's not a shaver.
Gotcha.
Like, if you have a beard and it's well manicured, I would think the pubes are shaved. But if it's just like caveman style, I don't know. Poor guy. So listen, I'm talking about this last night on the podcast because right before she came, I watched it. And I felt fucked up from the visual. I probably shouldn't have done it. I just shouldn't have done it. It didn't give me nightmares or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It almost didn't look real because we're so desensitized from all the special effects. But it goes up and it folded in and it was just like a hollowed out thing and then the thing fell in on itself. It was really interesting. But I didn't want to see it. I'm thinking back, like, I just don't want to see it. Let me finish. A woman on the Facebook Live who I know, this is not okay, she types. My brother killed himself. And I look into the camera and I'm like, my first wife took her own life and I found her body. I think I can talk about this. And I wasn't making fun of the guy and I wasn't putting him down. I was saying what happened. And she got offended. So now she got to listen to this one. She'll be offended too. So that's two in a row. I got to offend this person. But like, I don't know. It was I wanted to express it because it was such a weird thing for me to see. Go ahead.
So part of the job that I have that we're not speaking of,
mm-hmm.
We have to go and view gunshot victims.
Okay.
To see what the effects are on a human body.
Okay.
So that more so is why I'm curious about this video. But back to the woman that you're talking about, who is she to say what you can talk about on your podcast?
I think that she was under the impression I was mocking the dead.
Oh.
But again, I wasn't. I was taken aback. Like, he opted to do this on Facebook Live. Like, I've never taken my own life, but after my first wife had passed away, the thought had crossed my mind a few times. I didn't do it, obviously, but it crossed my mind. And if I was to ever have done it, I would have went to a quiet place by myself, turned my phone off, wrote a note maybe, hey, this is my body, my license or something, and then just take care of business. I wouldn't make a thing of it. I wouldn't make a production of it. I would not. And I mean, there wasn't social media back then. We're in a weird time.
And this is going to sound morbid, but I want to know what was going through his head at the time. Why did he decide to do the Facebook Live thing? Why did he even decide to pull the trigger?
Well, we don't know. But there was a dialogue in there, and I'll send you the video. And he was like, and Randy, you know I'm the best supervisor. You work at Best Buy. You know I'm the best supervisor, and you wouldn't give me a job, Randy. I swear to God, it was like that.
So it's probably mental illness, too, most likely. I think you have to have a little bit of mental illness to do that.
I think so. That makes sense. I mean, I could, oh, I must have said something really insensitive, so we'll just step away from that. But I agree. Mental illness is real. I take it seriously. I'm knock on wood. I feel fortunate. I have been sad before many times in my life, but stopping and giving up doesn't register so much. I'll tell you this. You want to hear something weird? I had never thought about killing myself till my first wife passed away. And you know what made it easier? I had this thing. I was like, if it ever gets too bad, I could just blow my face off. I was like, I'm good. Like, because I loved her and she's gone. So, like, if I ever hit something that was so bad, I was like, I could always check out. And for some reason, it gave me peace to, like, oh, I could keep going. Fuck it. Let's see what happens. Like, I'll go around and, you know. And then now many, 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 many years have moved by. And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of glad I didn't, you know. But
I was always, I may have thought about it once or twice. But I was always afraid to hurt my family.
No, that's a thing. Yeah. But, like, my mother had passed.
I think that's the easy way out.
I don't think there's anything easy about it. If I'm being honest with you, no, I don't think so. Because I believe in God. I do.
That is also a fear of mine.
That you'll think he'll be upset that you did that, like the rules or whatever.
I was brought up that you go to hell if you do that.
Yeah, but who knows? Like the whole like. I personally had an experience, which is in my book that none of you people bought, called 12 Foot Tall and Bulletproof, The VexX Biography. It is on bravewords.com right now. There's a whole chapter about I had a God thing happen. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. God fucking gripped me up once and more or less said, shut the fuck up. And I was like, I'm sorry, God. It happened. I know there's a God. I don't believe in religion. No one can speak for God, and to be arrogant enough to tell me you can, you're already lying. I've been on this planet for many decades. I've seen lots of stuff. I've experienced things. God's never knocked on my door and been like, hi, write this down and then go tell everybody this is how I feel. Write it down now. No, now. Are you writing? Okay. Don't do this. Don't send money. No, write that. Send money. Don't do this. No. That's not the gig. So, it's just not the gig. Spirituality is cool. I believe in God. I talk to God every day. Every single day I talk to God. For real, for real. Every day. But priests, get the fuck out of here. The Pope, shut the fuck up. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything more than we know. Go ahead.
I had, my son went to Catholic school.
I did too.
I refused to send him to a public school.
Smart.
I know what I got away with.
Smart.
And I wasn't married. And the priest said to me, why aren't you married? So I explained to him that we were better off not together. Then he said, why don't you come to church? I do when I can. My schedule's chaotic. I'm usually working Saturdays and Sundays. So while you're in church, I'm working to pay my son's tuition. I catch up on my church envelopes. Don't worry about it.
That's all they want, really.
Exactly. But he kept at me and at me. And finally I said, I'll quit my job so I can come to church. You can raise my son.
I mean, you know what I would have said to you personally? We have church 7 days a week. So whatever your day off is, young lady, this is the time and I'll see you there. They do.
No, they had church was open Saturdays and Sundays. There was like a 5 o'clock mass on Saturday and 8 and 10 on Sunday.
Okay. I'm telling you something that you're not listening and it's okay. And I'm not mad at you. I went to these places. I was an altar boy every single day at 7 a.m. or maybe 6:30. There's a morning mass. Now, you don't know about it, and you don't go to it, but it exists every day.
Every church.
Catholic, yeah. That's the gig. No, I'm telling you. So, personally, as the priest, I've been like, listen, are you off on Tuesday? Because I'm here Tuesday. Now, the reality of it is it's too early for a regular working person to get there and then go. So, when I was an altar boy and you would go, there's one 65-year-old guy whose wife died and two old ladies, and they don't know each other, and they sit sporadically throughout the thing, and that's all you're doing. But every day, there's church every day, everywhere.
I really didn't know that.
Well, there's no reason you would. I was part of the fucking, I was the older boy. So I would have to get up for real. Could you imagine? You're in school, and you have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning, run to the thing in the dark, open up the fucking building, light all the candles, set everything up. You're in church by like fucking 6:30. You're out by like 7:15. You go back home for 10 minutes, come back to school.
And how many days a week did you do that?
Well, you had five. You had your rotation.
Oh, okay. So you did it like one particular day out of the week?
I think like every other month or like probably every 2 months you get stuck with it as an altar boy and you get paid $0. It was awesome. And then I developed a medical condition called Osgood-Slaughter disease that I couldn't kneel on my knees. It was extremely painful. And the priest was like, no, he has to kneel. That's the gig.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I have a high pain threshold, it turns out. And now I do yoga, which actually fixed all of it, which is interesting, right? It's still, it's not, it's tender, but I couldn't kneel. It was like painful as a kid because I was going through this thing. They're like, yeah, that's the gig. That's what you do.
And the kneelers, I'll call them, mm-hmm. They didn't have padding on them?
We knelt on the altar. We were altar boys. And you genuflect. You know what that means, do you?
I don't remember.
So when you walk up and whenever you pass the sacrament, you have to kneel.
Oh, yes.
Genuflect. So I would walk past it 10 times from left to right to back. Genuflect. Back over, genuflect. And like I've been sitting in my chair like... like falling asleep while he's like, and the Lord saith to me, tie your shoes. And you would say, why, Jesus? And I'm like,
did he speak louder when you started snoring?
I don't know if I snored, but I definitely was like, But he was just happy somebody was there. And then it's supposed to be two altar boys. I'm the only one that ever showed the fuck up. So when it was my time, it was me. So most of the time, it was just him by himself. And then my week, I'm like, hey, Father. And he was aloof and mean as fuck to us. But do you know why he was aloof and mean to fuck to us? Because he didn't want to get accused of trying to fuck the children, I guess.
Okay.
And I'm telling this guy's poor business. He's a Monsignor now, I believe. He was being groomed to work for the Pope. He's a doctor of theology. He went to school forever. He's very intelligent. A little arrogant when he was young. And he was like in the Vatican. And the Vatican's like, I don't know if you know this, but Pope John Paul II was a little bit Lithuanian. And I'm Lithuanian. He's Polish, but he had some Lithuanian like in his family.
Okay.
For real, his mother. So he looks at this priest, and this priest is full-blooded Lithuanian. He's like, where are you from? He's like, I'm from Philadelphia. He's like, you're Lithuanian? He's like, yeah. Yes, Your Eminency. He's like, I work on your thing. He's like, yeah, there's a parish in Philadelphia that is Lithuanian and needs a priest. You're going there. And he's like, but Your Eminency, I trained my whole life. He's like, yeah, no. And he just got fucking stuck there.
Wow.
So he hated us. Like, he didn't like children. He was a scholar. He wanted to become a bishop and like fucking be somebody. And there he is. And then, so he was like kind of angry and he was like aloof and mean to all the children. But again, didn't want to be accused of trying to fuck them. And he never was inappropriate at all because he wouldn't even fucking deal with us. He was like, yeah, what's up? Like, he didn't like us, which was weird. Like, hurtful as a kid.
Right.
And my mom would try to build him up. She's like, Father asked about you today. He never asked about me. She told me later she lied. Why the fuck are you lying? I didn't need that shit in my life. Oh, Father asked how your grades were. He didn't give a fuck. Not at all. So, listen.
She was trying to get you to like him a little bit.
I don't know what that was about. She fibbed a lot, actually. Yeah.
Sometimes moms do.
She was a fibber. Like, I'll give you an example. It turns out I'm allergic to onions.
Really?
And she doesn't believe that. She's been dead 18 years, 19 years. She didn't believe that. So as an adult, if ever I ate onions, still to this day, I get really painful diarrhea. It just doesn't work out for me. I like how it tastes. Like I like an onion ring, but I can't eat them. It just doesn't work for my system. So I moved out, but I would go there for dinner often. And she would chop up the onions as fine as possible and put them in the meal. And I'm like, Mom, I can't eat onions. And then with my fork, I'd be like, what's that? That's an onion. And she would say to my dad later, I chopped them up as small as I could. I don't know how he found them. Bitch, I'm allergic.
Right.
Didn't care. Didn't care at all.
Is that the only thing you're allergic to?
Yeah. Yeah.
I found anything that I'm allergic to.
Good.
I sound allergic to apples.
Apples are so good.
They make his throat itchy. And, it doesn't close up, but he knows something's
wrong. It's unpleasant.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Hmm. I thought that was weird, too.
I don't know why.
I guess because I'm not allergic to anything. That's allergic to cinnamon.
Do you know what they say? You'll know this from your line of work. If you pick up your drink and there's a hint of cinnamon in it, do you know what that is? They probably poisoned you and the cinnamon's there to block it. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a thing. So if you're drinking something, there's a hint of cinnamon, you're dead. If someone's trying to kill you, like your family member, they put arsenic.
Like Jack Fire.
I don't know what that is, but I'm just saying. No, but if it's not supposed to taste like cinnamon and there's a hint,
right.
It's in there. Because it masks the taste of whatever the poison is.
How do you know that?
I don't want to get poisoned. How do you not know that? I know lots of things that people shouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So this priest hates us and doesn't like any of us. And so he would save his money and travel all around the world because he was a scholar. And he caught a motherfucker virus in some other creepy country, comes home and is at death's door. And I hear now that he has survived and he lost 40 pounds and they're like, he's going to fucking die. The doctors beat it. They figured it out. Because when you get something from a foreign country, it's kind of, they're just guessing. They don't really know. Medical is like diagnosing a car. They don't really know, but they suspect, oh, it's probably this. I'll give an example. If a car makes a certain noise, like, oh, your brakes are bad, they'll change your brakes. Oh, you broke your arm, we'll set your arm. But there's something internal, they don't really know. They do a battery of tests until they try to figure it out, but they don't know, no. And that's what it is. The whole science of medicine is a science. Like, they don't really know. It's like, we're trying to figure this out. So he lives. And I hear tell that since he has made it through it, he's pleasant and he's happy and he's accepted his place in this world. Because he is a good priest and he did help people and he's been there 40 fucking years now. You know what I mean? But he was young and brazen and hubris and he's going to be the fucking dude. And the Pope's like, yeah, yeah, you got to be there. Because the Pope can see, you know, he's an old man at this point. He sees you're cocky. You got to fucking go get humble. You know what I'm saying? And he got fucking humbled. God humbled him, you know.
But it took him a long while to learn.
Yeah, because my whole childhood, he was just a dick. And then it's weird because there was a Monsignor that was there that couldn't work anymore. Like, he was too old. This guy baptized me and, like, everybody in the neighborhood. He knew everyone's name. If he baptized you 30 years later, he's like, hey, how you doing, Thomas? It was amazing. He was a really good guy. And then the young priest treated him really well. Whatever he wanted, he got. Like, he wasn't like that, but, like, you know, he would get him dessert and take care of me, whatever he needs. He's comfortable, nice TV set. Give to him. And now he's the old guy because fucking 40 years have gone by. So it's like, dun, dun, dun. Because the priest before him was a motherfucker alcoholic. Like, yeah. And this is before I went there. So as I was, like, they were starting to introduce me to church when I was a little kid. You'd go in and this guy's talking. And I'm looking at his face and it looks like lines, like, carved into his skin. I was like, Father Bernie, they called him. I'm like, that dude looks rough. I'm six. I'm like, that dude looks rough. And they're like, yeah, he's not long for here, I think. And then he just disappeared one day and they got the young guy.
And you don't know what happened to Father
Bernie. Probably die. He's a fucking drunk. And then the guy who's there, Monsignor Joe, I believe is his name now, the guy for 40 years, he had a really good friend called Father Kelly. And Father Kelly would come in and you'd have to drink the sacrament wine, but he was a recovered alcoholic, so he would have to drink grape juice. So you had to have, like, a different bottle to give him because anything would set him off. And he told the greatest parable that I'm going to wrap up with this real quick with you that I put in my book. It's not mine. I stole it from Father Kelly when I was a little kid. He was like, there were two twin boys. And one was uplifting and positive, and the other one was, like, a little spoiled and mean, and this family was well-to-do. So Christmas morning comes around, and the kids are, like, demanding, leading up to Christmas, I want this, and I want that, and blah, blah. Okay, they gave him two giant boxes. So the mean kid, or, like, the arrogant child, goes in the box, opens it up, and it's a box of shit. And he's very upset. The other positive kid comes along, opens it up, he sees the shit, and he starts digging. And there's shit on the carpet and there's shit on the ceiling. And he's like fucking balls deep in the shit, like digging, right? And the parents go, Johnny, you know, what are you looking for? And he's like, Mom, with this much poop, there's a fucking horse somewhere.
Aww.
I know. And there you go. That's life. Greatest parable ever. And a priest told me that story when I was like 10. And I stole it and put it in my fucking book. And the book, I say it's not mine, but you know.
Right.
Thoughts? I think so. I think that's a good way to end as any. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 144 of the Vex on Vex podcast. The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Miss Nightingale, thank you for your time.
Thank you. It actually was fun.
It was fun, wasn't it? You didn't believe me.
I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will be available. Today's July 1st, within a few weeks. This is VexX telling y'all to stay frosty.